This call is being recorded.
Hello.
Howdy. Are you, you're home early, huh?
Well, I'm, working out of town, so I'm close to the branch.
Cool. Do you have
the town of Bridgeport, West Virginia?
Bridgeport?
If I was here any longer than 6 hours, I'd probably call Pat up and meet him.
Yeah. Let him, he's having a damn day. I don't envy that boy. He might not be on. Do you have the ability to pull up the budget and the Constitution?
Yep.
May refer to the Constitution. We'll definitely use the budget from last year. And, in fact, have the whole website ready.
Yes.
Greensburg? Who else just joined?
67's here.
Oh, hello there.
I don't know why that says Greensburg.
I don't know either. Do you have...
I'm in Greensburg.
I guess you are. Do you have... Are you on your computer? Obviously, you just changed it to 67. Okay, good.
I just changed it. So the budget and Constitution?
Yeah, we'll just have them ready. And the agenda, please.
Yep.
JG, what's going on, brother?
How you doing?
Good. How's life over there?
Good. We're in the middle of baseball, basketball, you name it. We've got it going. So.
You're not a busy person right now, I'm sure.
Got the WNIT tomorrow night. You're more than welcome to travel on over if you want.
Where, there in Charlotte, you got it?
Yeah, it's just a first-round game for women's basketball. So it's not the tournament. It's not the women's tournament.
That's right. They play at their sites until the final couple rounds. Well, good. That ought to be fun. Hey, those the mailing really look good. That's a fantastic job on you. That was fabulous.
Sorry for the delay on it, but it did come out actually really well, and I was pretty pleased with our vendor. So.
Got a couple really nice feedback on that, so. That was good stuff.
Good. Hopefully it drives some interest.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
How's family? Everybody good?
We're all hanging in there. We've managed to, knock on wood, make it through their school is not a school, it's a petri dish. And we've managed to make it through without major illness, but you know, still there's still plenty of time for us to get whacked. Especially, it's probably going to happen now because spring break is next week. They'll get sick, something will happen, and it'll be terrible next week. You know, it's just the way life goes. Matt said that he's probably going to be late. He's running behind, but he'll join us. Patrick Folio is just in work hell right now. I feel actually bad for the dude. If he joins us, it'll be great. Let me make a note of that. And Craig is going to be joining us. So I talked to him about 45 minutes ago. Whoa. Oh. I thought I did something bad. I thought I ingested something I shouldn't have there for a second.
Now I know I'm in Greensburg.
Hey, Barney's in. And who else joined? Who's that 603 number?
Oh, that's Jerry Christman.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
Good to hear from you. Great that you could join us. I appreciate you popping on. We're going to get started in a few more minutes. We're just waiting for everyone else to pop on.
Yeah, no problem. I'm trying to log on to the online, too, so.
Great. So glad that, you know, everybody joined in early message got observed.
We can start scheduling it for 5:30.
Yeah.
We just hang on your every word, Tom.
I know.
Jordan.
Who's in?
Jordan.
Oh, hey, buddy.
What's up?
Cool. Waiting on a couple more people.
Sounds good.
Jordan's in.
Somebody joined from 804.
We're about to find out.
Yeah, hey, it's Kevin Kaiser.
Oh, glad to see you join us. Glad to have you on.
Thanks.
We're going to give it another minute or so, and then we'll be getting started.
Hello?
Hello? Who's this? Who's 860?
Well. Gone.
Boom. I want to give it one more minute. It's top of the hour, but I want to give it one more minute to see who else we can get dialed in. Turner, Dyson, are either of you guys on? I wasn't sure if they were going to be joining us today. All right. Well, it's 5:01, and I'm going to call this meeting to order. John George, can you please call roll?
Hi, Farley, member at large?
Here.
Jordan Feathers, Vice President, Chief Risk Officer.
Here.
Doug Winkleman, Vice President of Fundraising. Jason Hyde, Vice President, Chief Information Officer.
I'm here.
John George is here. Patrick Folio, Treasurer, Chief Financial Officer. Tom, you say he's coming a little bit later?
If he, I don't know. I don't think he's going to be joining us tonight.
Okay, that's fine. Chris Denson, Vice President, Chief Operating Officer.
Here.
Matt Lawful, Executive Vice President. Maybe a little later.
Yeah, he'll be on.
Tom, President, Chief Executive Officer.
Present.
Also, I believe we have Bob Loeffner. Is that correct? I'm sorry, we do not. We have Kevin Kaiser.
Here.
Jerry Crispin.
Here.
Tom, I think that's about it right now.
There's one more. Who's the 860-299 number?
That's me, Ken Burko.
Ken Burko, fantastic. Glad you're on board with us. Okay. Anyone else that we didn't call that's on the call right now? All right, fantastic. Thank you. Can I have the readings of the minutes of the last meeting or a motion to skip that?
A motion to accept the minutes as read.
I second it.
67 and Jason Hyatt is seconded. Any opposed? Okay, we'll move along. All right, guys, before we get into the officer reports today, I just want to kind of, for those, the benefit of those that are on the call for the first time or haven't been on in a while, what we're going to wind up doing here on our calls and what we do every month is we go about the business of the alumni chapter sort of in the same order that you might remember from undergraduate days. Each officer gives a report. We have any old business that was tabled from the last meeting, new business that gets read, and the agenda is now up on the Uber conference, so you can see what we're going to do. We have new business that we will go over, and there are two items of importance for today that are going to be introduced in new business. And then we do a open meeting, a G's and B's. Anybody's welcome to chime in on anything they wish after new business. We'll talk about the next meeting and then we'll adjourn. I'd like to keep this meeting an hour long today, but that's always an ambitious project for us, especially when we get going on a roll. So we'll do it. Looks like Craig just joined us. And
I did.
All right, fantastic. I'm gonna. Hey, Craig, if you could mute your phone, that'd be fabulous. Got background.
I will. Yep.
All right. Thank you. All right. Perfect. Okay. So let's just dive in and go with the officer reports. Patrick, why don't we start with you, member at large?
Sure. Tom, I think you had mentioned at one point that you might be able to send to me the original petition information from the Delta Epsilon group that you had taken pictures of and posted on Facebook.
Yep. It's sitting literally right next to me. I will have it FedEx to you tomorrow.
Okay. I will I'll send to you in an email my work address.
Okay.
So if you can have it sent there, I'll be able to pick it up because I'll be there all day tomorrow.
Perfect.
And the first 2 years of the history, and this is back before you all were born, coming up through from spring of 1977 through 1979 is almost complete. And then I'll be calling on some other folks to try to get a little bit more information post my leaving the undergraduate resources before I came back to grad school. So I need to fill in some blanks between 1979 and 1982. So if Brother Winkleman or any of the gang out there still have information from that time frame, I really would appreciate it.
And for the benefit, again, for those that are joining us for the call, Patrick, why don't you just reintroduce the project you're working on?
Sure. One of the items that we wanted to try to get into place prior to prior to the rechartering of Alpha Road Chapter a few years down the road, was to have a really solid, comprehensive, cohesive history of the chapter, not only as we knew it back in the days of rechartering, but also with the original members back from the 1930s. And we want to be able to put that out on the website and use it in Russian recruitment materials so that we have a really good written documentary of the years of Pi Kappa Phi Alpha Rho chapter up to the present, with as much information as we can pick out of brains of people who are still out there and functioning. We think it'll be really important, not only for us as a group as we get ready to recharter, but also for the generations to come. So hopefully we'll have that in place within the next while. It's going to take some writing to get this complete, but at least it's gotten started, and the more information that can be fed to me, especially from the earlier years, the easier it'll be to try to put the puzzle pieces together.
And just to tack on to that, you know, this is a project that we felt was important to have, because prior to this, we've never had a formal written history of Alpha Rho. The history of Alpha Rho, you know, taught throughout the years, was always legend and you know, stories about Bobby D in the formal room, but there was never any, you know, real anything concrete that we could study. So this is something that's going to be passed down. It's going to be worked on as part of the Constitution and bylaws. We have it in there that every 5 years, a committee made up of the archons that served during the time period of the preceding 5 years are going to get together and write the history of the prior 5 years and present it at one of our banquets. So it's a useful thing. I want to make sure we get this right. I would love to have had it by next completed by April, but that's not possible, and that's okay. I'd rather it be done correctly and well. And I also think it'll be wonderful when it comes out to send to everybody so they can read it. I think people that don't know the history of the true history going back will really enjoy seeing that. So thank you very much. Patrick, do you have anything else?
No, we're definitely going to edit out some of the pictures like that picture of Bobby D in the formal room.
I don't think we want the picture circulated of the story that I heard. So we'll talk that story over beer sometime. Thank you, Jordan, Vice President, Risk Officer, Chief Risk Officer.
I'll keep this short. Hopefully, everybody got their shirts that were owed to them. We have one mixed up in size, and that's being taken care of as we speak. And it looks like we've had a couple other trickle in over the last week or two. So, Hyatt, anybody new that is owed apparel, if you could get me a name, size, and address, and I will get those out as soon as possible.
Fuchs. That'd be great. Terrific. Okay, VP Fundraising, Dr. Winkleman, if you're on. You got to unmute him, Jason. There
All
we
right,
go.
Hang on. I'm driving. Skip over me for a minute. I'm driving my Corvette. So.
We'll come back to you. Just we'll ping you at the end. All right. Jason, Vice President, Chief Information Officer.
I didn't have a whole lot really to go over. My only thing is, anybody going to this event in April, if you haven't yet, please go online and RSVP. I got a list together, and I only have like four names that went through the tool, so I'm sharing it there now. I know more are attending. You can pay in advance, or if you want to pay at the door, that's fine, but try to please at least use the website to RSVP. Right on the homepage, click right there, Alumni Weekend RSVP. I'm going to keep this list updated, and I'll start adding names that way. Hopefully, we might be able to get a few more people in if they see a growing group of people coming. That's all I really have right now.
Okay. Just to reiterate the emails that were going back and forth the last couple of days, just really just take advantage of whenever you feel like it and start getting messages out there again on Twitter and on Facebook, using the social media, and then reminding people if you want to just send a couple mass emails just on a weekly basis to remind people about Spring Alumni Weekend. I think that would also drive people to register that want to come. So hopefully we'll do that. So thank you very much. One of the things that I do just want to throw out to you while we're on the call is I want you in April at our meeting to talk about the website. I want you to give a kind of a tutorial of where people can find things, how to go through that. I want you to kind of go through that overall usefulness and where all the information is. We keep everything on this website. It's fabulous. We have the minutes. We have call recordings. We have all of the documents that we've need to have out there. We have all the information in terms of events that are out there. I just want to make sure that everyone has an understanding of where to go and find that. So if you can make that part of your report in April, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I'll just add to that, if anybody knows anybody that is a good designer that might want to do some work pro bono, Eric has done a great job helping me get this up, but aesthetically it could certainly use some manipulating. So hopefully if the contributions go well, we can really pay somebody to get it done. But I have a feeling we have some younger gentlemen, or probably even older gentlemen, that can create a website pretty quickly and easily.
Cool. Great. Okay.
All right. Hey, Tom, I'm back.
Great. Why don't you go ahead and you can jump in.
Sorry about that. I got a 1972 Corvette, and it's not exactly the quietest car to drive in the world. So. Anyway, here's what, yeah, it kind of reminds you of the day when cars were really pretty unrefined, you know.
Craig, didn't you used to drive that car out to the movie theater out near Monroeville?
No, I just got this Corvette. I had a Camaro back in school, and I had an Impala. Yeah, actually, the Impala was the fun car, so. So, yeah, no, the Impala that I had carried many a keg from Pennsylvania to my house in Morgantown, but that's the whole story. Anyway, as far as fundraising is concerned, I still want to get back to what we had talked about at one point in time, and quite honestly, I probably need a committee chairman to help me do this. Is to get guys from different eras starting to call people. I think we've reached out to people. People understand. I mean, there's no reason why we can't have a couple hundred guys give $50 and get this thing really funded well. You know, I mean, people don't have to be a member and pay $200. You know, people can throw in $50. Fine with me. The more the merrier. That's the way I look at it. But, I'm going to need somebody to help me coordinate that, because I just got, I got 700 things on my plate, so.
I've got the guy for you.
Okay.
That's
right, I mean, I'm certainly willing to help coordinate that and do some stuff with it, but I'm just going to need some help along the way, that's all.
Sure.
So, but, we just need to start making call lists, I think, in different eras and start just getting on the phone. When I was in dental school, that's how, when we did fundraisers for the school, that's how the school raised the most money. They sent out mailers, kind of gave people awareness, but it was the phone call that really got people pushed over the edge.
Well, and I think as we're discovering too, and we've talked about this a lot, it's the number of touches. It's constant reminders. It's not beating people over the head, but it's, it's just, hey, remind people. And that, you're right, that takes reminders, and that takes more than just calling somebody or asking them. It takes email, it takes social media, it takes all bunch of different touches, which we really all need to do a better job at. So,
like I talked about with you, Tom, I've been kicking around how much to give and when the right time is and a whole bunch of other stuff for everything going on with me. So it's going to happen. It's just my name's not out there yet. So.
Yep. Well, we'll get that rocking and rolling, and we'll have some more to talk about in April in regards to the contribution campaign, and also some incentives, some more different incentives that we can use to hopefully get guys to contribute and get them to contribute at the higher levels. So, but you're right.
Okay.
I mean, we'll take whatever we can get, and then that's good. So keep up the efforts and keep up the thought process on this, and then I'll have, I don't want to reveal who it is, but somebody asked me this morning if they could get involved, and I was thinking of a chairmanship of some sort to try to involve this person. Let me run it by him before I publicly announce who that would be, and then.
Okay.
But I think he would be perfect for this role. So.
All right. Excellent.
All right.
And,
anything else?
Just as an aside. Hey Pat, can you contact me offline? I found a bunch of stuff. I sent Tom a couple of the pictures, but I found at my ex-wife's place a bunch of stuff. And one of the things that is there is, I believe, one of the documents that was put together when we rechartered the chapter that has photocopies of everything all the way back to Delta Epsilon. I mean, it's a pretty substantial, maybe 60-page document of all kinds of stuff. So I should get that to you, and I need to go dig it out from the box that it's in at my ex-wife's place. But, I have stuff like my original Star and Lamp and some things like that, that when it's appropriate to get to the right people, it would be good to do that. I mean, I do have, and somewhere buried in all the stuff that I have, I told Tom this, I have the original photo album from Delta Epsilon 2 that I took out of the house when it was getting trashed at one point in time on the coffee table. So it's in a box somewhere at my ex-wife's house.
That's good to know, Craig. What do you think is a logical time frame for you to be able to go on an archaeological dig?
the one document that I said, the photocopied stuff that, like I said, I believe that's from when we rechartered. That's pretty easy. I know what box that's in. The photo album's a whole nother saga. I did not uncover that. I know I have it somewhere. I just don't know in which particular box that happens to be in.
And you don't know if one of the things Greg, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and email you my address, and if you can either mail those things to me or FedEx them to me so that we have a tracking number and don't lose some of that, I'll be happy to hold some of that really important historical information here until we have a place to put it.
Yeah. Well, I've been kind of secretly, quietly doing that for many, many years, so... I have photos of, Steve Woodard's original push-a-thon, and I got lots of stuff. So
cool.
There's lots of stuff.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. All right.
Now,
thank you.
Now,
I'm sorry.
Now, hey, Tom. And
yep.
I'll tell you, a lot of the color photographs are fading. So I don't know how we digitally archive those and stuff, but they really do need to be digitally archived. The black and whites, of course, are completely fine.
Yeah.
Well, if you can get them to me, Craig, I can get them into the system.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll start uncovering the stuff that I've squirreled away over the years.
Good. All right. Anything else? Good. Okay.
Not for me. I'm going back on mute.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, JG, Secretary, Chief Communication Officer.
The postcard was mailed out probably last week. I think most people here hopefully should have gotten the postcard that was an attempt by us to help drive traffic to our website. That is interested in both learning more about our alumni chapter, but as well as potentially to contribute. Just a quick roll, did anybody not get it? One thing that failed to get on there was the return address. I don't have record of the non-delivery to our members, our alumni members, that is.
Wow.
The vendor did scrub for valid addresses, but that's pretty much, that doesn't really help us. So I have that noted for future mailings as we move forward.
Did the vendor find any invalid addresses?
There were no invalid addresses, Jason. There were three changes from the one you'd given me prior. P. Martin, DJ, and Tom, you alluded to Dave Goldberg. So I do have that updated. So I apologize for that error and not getting those to our mailbox to see who is no longer, or excuse me, for an invalid address. The one thing that, excuse me, an invalid forwarding address, I should say. So just moving forward, I'll be sure to note that.
Yeah, well, in a couple of weeks or maybe right after the April meeting, our alumni weekend, I'd like to go on another, kind of take another stab at finding people with better addresses and trying to populate and find email addresses for a lot of the ones that we don't have. So just put that in the back of your mind. I'd like to start thinking about doing that, UN, Jason, after April. John, for over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be reaching out to everyone, you and I, about proxy voting for the active members that can't be in attendance with us. And I think you saw the email I sent out earlier today, or I hope you did, where I kind of laid that out. There's two ways the proxy votes will work. One is actually designating a person to come that's going to be present at our meeting to vote on their behalf. And one person can be a proxy for two people, but no more than that. And then the other way is the actual sending me a vote. So we want to make sure that we do that according to the Constitution, pardon me, and making sure that we give everybody plenty of time. So, again, just put that on your kind of in your tickler file so that we can hit that and make sure that everyone has the opportunity to vote on the issues that we're going to be discussing in our meeting in April.
Tom, let me know. I can create a page to directly email you, just a link to fill out a form to email you directly.
Yeah, that would be, if you can come up with something that would do that, that'd be fantastic. I'd rather it be directed to, if we're going to do it that way, the proxy vote is supposed to go to John. In fact, let me just double check that in the Constitution here real quick. Pardon me for having to do this while we're talking, but
here it is, section 7B. I pulled it up on the
those two go down to C. I don't think that there are as a provision. Nope, that's it. Okay. So those are the two ways. I think the writing in the officers then has the quorum. Yeah, let's direct it to John, because John is the one who's going to certify any votes that we have anyway. So.
Yeah, I can send a direct email. That way it's not, you know, the forms we're using, but it'll make it easier and simpler.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anything we can do to make it easier, I would appreciate. Okay, John, anything else? Okay, great. I'm going to take care of Patrick's portion for treasurer today. And it's really simple. Right now, we have a balance of $6,676.71, and that is as of today. I know that there's a couple of new contributions that are in the PayPal system. I don't know if they've made it into this balance. I'm thinking there at least one or two of them have, because we were just at $6,000 a few weeks ago. So. That's good news. We need to get that number north of where we're going. We do have some expenditures that we're about to have that I want to make sure that everybody's aware of. We're going to have to do, obviously, the Spring Alumni Weekend. We're going to have expenses for that. roughly about $1,000 there. We have our commitment to the Ability Experience, which is formerly Push America, of $1,000. And then we have the registration and payment for Supreme Chapter to send the two delegates, me and Matt Laffa. So we do have some significant expenditures coming up soon, and that's why I'm constantly harping on making sure that we're doing the best that we can to get the campaign contribution going and getting guys to support it, because we have very real things that are taking place, and I'll go over a few of those during the proposed budget for next fiscal year. We'll talk about that. Questions? Okay, and that concludes the treasurer's report. Matt, did you make it on the call yet? I'm sorry that he couldn't be. He was running late at work. He had a bunch of stuff that was going on. He's been working his tail off on the spring alumni weekend. We have a room. I've been assured it's big enough to seat 30. We've got a head table of 9. We'll have the things that we need to be able to run our meeting. One of the things that I really want to have during that actual meeting is the best technology that we can have to be able to have people that are not coming into Morgantown participate in the meeting. So I'd like to be able to do a video conference if that's possible. It remains to be seen. I don't know if we've got a definite that can happen. At the very minimum, we'll do this, which is the conference call facility and the Uber conference, to be able to see what's going on and hear what's going on and participate that way. But I'd like it to be able to be videoed if it can be. The other stuff looks like it's falling into place. I'm sorry, was there a question?
If anybody has a cheap USB camera they can bring, that might be probably their only limiting thing, because they're supposed to have a computer there. If not, I'll have my laptop. But otherwise, I think the video will be possible. If anybody's got a USB camera, though, sitting around there, you just bring it with you.
And, Jason, if short of that, would you mind taking a look at, and I could have you do it or I could have Matt do it, but you know, rent a center or something like that. Just see what we can do for a couple of days, the cost of something like that. It's probably worth it if it's not, you know, a crazy expense for a couple of days to get that.
Tom, it's 67. We're having this meeting at the Mountain Lair, correct?
Yes. We don't have the exact room yet, but the room is confirmed.
They may have that type of equipment available, since they're now pretty technologically savvy.
Yeah, we've asked them for it, and I'm gonna shoot Dr. Baker another email, just asking if that's possible, if they've got any of that technology. Problem is that they charge crazy amounts of money to do that sort of thing, even for student organizations. So if we can do it and they have it and it's available, great. We'll explore that. Other than that, we're gonna see what we can do from that other options.
Okay.
All right. Everything again. Just for those of you who are thinking about coming that are on the call, we're gonna start the evening off on Friday night at the Fishbowl. Very casual, just coming in, having a couple beers and eating some food. Friday night is essentially on your own. There'll be something going on, I'm sure, but we'll all kind of, we don't have anything specifically planned. Saturday morning, thanks, Jason just brought the agenda up on Uber conference, so you can see what we're doing. Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, so, you know, sure there'll be some bleary-eyed people, but 10 o'clock is when our board meeting will start. And as I told Laff, if we go a minute, if we are still in that room at 12:30, I want somebody to grab me physically and throw me out of the room, because we shouldn't be there. I don't think there's going to be any reason for us to take 2.5 hours. So we just have the room reserved for that long. 12:30 to 4, again, we're going to be free. 4 o'clock, we're going to go. We're arranging transportation, although it's not solidified, but arranging transportation to the new baseball stadium to view the WV baseball game versus Kansas State. And I think the thinking was that we don't have any illusion that people are going to stay for the entire game. But it's a cool thing to do. I think a lot of people wanted to see the new baseball stadium, give an opportunity to do that, sit in the stands, sneak in a couple beers and have some beers. I don't think they're selling beers at the baseball stadium. But anyway, we'll take advantage of that. And then 7 to 9, we've got a nice reception at the Hotel Morgan. It's going to be a good time, and we've got confirmations from people that have said that they were coming. It looks like it's going to be a nice group of people that are in town. So we will, we'll just see how it goes, and I'm looking forward to it. So that is that. Matt, did you happen to jump on while I was talking, giving your report? No. Okay. All right, and then for my report, I don't have anything really extensively to go over. I do want to make sure that we continue to all ask and talk to our guys that are friends of ours, same era people, ask them to go and contribute. It is so important. We have so much stuff to spend money on, and again, when we get into the proposed budget and you see exactly what we have to spend money on, you'll see why we really do. We've got to get on this. $6,600 in the account, which is going to dwindle down probably to $2,000 very quickly. We just simply need more money to be able to do the things that we've got to do. And I've said it in email. I've said it in these calls. I hope that you guys are each taking that message out to the people that you are close in contact with, that this is not something that I want to have to do and like to have to do per se, but it's the absolute truth that we've got to have contributions to be able to do the things that we want to do if we want a student chapter back on campus. Okay, so I'm going to close out the officer reports, and I'm going to open up. Is there any old business that was tabled from the last meeting, John?
Sorry, by the way, we did table the Alpha newsletter. I think that's going to be something we'll bring up back when the undergraduate chapter gets some footing, which not for that for. So it's just
right
on the far horizon.
Okay. Just, I don't want that to die. I don't want that thing to go away. I don't think there's anything for us to do right now, other than to, have it in mind, but please do me a favor, John, and keep that kind of pending, on our minutes, so that we're reminded to keep that thing going. Just wherever you can put it so that we can see it, that would be great.
I'll just add an old business line item there for future consideration for the undergrad chat. That way, as we bring other items up, we'll just add to the list.
That would be perfect. Okay. Is there any other old business that we have?
Hey, Tom, it's Barney. Did you want me to present a report?
Oh, my gosh. I am so sorry. I skipped right the heck over you, didn't I?
We're going to have to have words about this later.
Okay. Yes. And I completely apologize because, truth be told, Barney and I spent a good several minutes texting and conversing about the report today. So my eyes skipped right from COO to CEO, and I apologize. Barney, we do have.
I thought that text message meant something to me. Apparently.
Well, you know, I do text with a lot of people, and quite honestly, you know, you're not as good looking as some of them. We've got a couple of new people on the call that haven't been with us before. Can you give like a 2-minute brief description about what you have been working on, your committee, the strategic plan, and then go into your report, please?
Sure. What we're doing for the strategic planning committee, is looking back to find out what went wrong, why did we lose our charter, and that requires an investigation on our part. And the committee consists of me, Tom, and Foof. And what we're doing as part of our investigation is looking back over time. And, I mean, we're looking back all the way into the 90s, into the 2000s, and we're trying to find out what happened. What went wrong? When did it start? just a full-blown investigation. And then the plan is to compile all of our findings and then to try to come up with some procedures and some processes that will make sure that something like this never happens again. That's the long and short of it. Where we're at right now is we're still in the interview stage. The interviews have taken longer than expected, and that's a good thing because what we're doing is we're finding more people to talk to. Tom, I know that you have been interviewing archons dating back all the way to the 90s into the 2000s, and you've talked to a lot of them. And we're talking to Dyson and Turner, who have been intimately familiar with the chapter for almost, well, from 20 years, 25 years. So they have a wealth of information. Foof is in the process of interviewing or setting up interviews to talk to some people down at the national office to find out what their perception was, anything they can help. I know the plan is to try to get some documents from the national office, if they'll give it to us, that shows some trends. And, you know, what we've learned, the goal was to try to have this in a final report by the April meeting, but what we found out is that that's just not possible from a time standpoint. We're still digging in, trying to get information, and we want to make sure that we do this right. And so rather than just throwing a report together, we want to make sure that we have a good idea as to what happened so that we can, our procedures that we put in place actually mean something. The plan right now is to present like an executive summary at the meeting in April that will share some of the information we've obtained to date, and then the final report will be coming sometime after that. Anything you want to add, Tom, since you're part of this?
No, other than the fact that, again, we're taking this from the angle of internally, what were our procedures and what did we do what did the Archons, as a leadership, what did we do? Where did things start going off track? We're looking at it from the perspective from the national organization. What did they see? What did they observe of Alpha Rho over that time period that made it look bad? We're also interviewing people that have had a relationship with Alpha Rho from outside on the WVU campus. And we're conducting interviews with Chris's wife, Amy, who is involved with her sorority on a local and national level and has had quite a bit of experience with the Greek system on WVU's campus, plus everywhere else. So we're going to have a really good I was blown away by what I learned just interviewing the Archons. Jason, if you can pull up from the call log from Uber conference, and you can see the Archons that I've talked to.
I don't know if I can do that while we're on the call or not.
Well, okay, that's fine. If you can't, we've gotten all of these people. We've recorded these calls. Don't worry about it, Jason. You can go back. It doesn't matter. All of the calls are recorded here on Uber conference, so we can go back and listen to them and hear what they said. But there's such interesting things that are supporting some of the hypotheses that I had starting, but it's also revealing a lot more that I really didn't think about. And I think when we get together, the three of us back together and pull together and share with what we're learning, it's going to be very beneficial. So I'll leave it there.
That's good. The one person I forgot to mention that we were interviewing was my wife. So let's
She'll
make sure
that
part is deleted from this recording.
Nope, it's there. It's in perpetuity. We'll let her know. We got some blackmail for you. Okay, anything else? Okay. All right. I apologize that I forgot you, but that glad we got that taken care of. All right. I'm going to skip over now to the new business portion of our meeting, and we've got two items that are very important that we need to discuss. And I'm going to bring up the first one, which is the budget for fiscal year 2017 and a proposal and discussion. Jason, can you bring up the budget doc, please? Okay, can you scroll up all the way to the top, and we're going to work our way down on this thing, just so you know. That's a good view right there. So you can take a look at there are several expenses that are fixed that we must that we're gonna be spending money on as we talked about. Supreme Chapter for us is not a kind of we want to go. It's not like something that we do. Being an alumni chapter requires us to send delegates to Supreme Chapter. To keep that recognition as an alumni chapter, which we intend to do, this is something that we were told in the beginning is something that we have to do. It also is important for us during this time where we don't have a student chapter to maintain as close a relationship with the national organization as possible. We're going to be dealing with the National Council in a couple of years to petition to come back on. So we want to make sure that we're there, we're rubbing elbows with the right people, talking Alpha Rho up, making sure that we're in the consciousness of the national organization. So we have to go. We budgeted $1,500 for the registration and the travel and expenses to Austin for the summer. It's a couple-day trip. It's not the cheapest city in the world, and we're staying at a Hilton. So we'll do everything we can to not run up $1,500 in expenses each, again, some of the things we can't avoid are what are the airfare going to cost and travel and things of that nature, and again, the registration costs. So we'll do our best, but it's important for us to go. There's also things that we decided early on that we were going to do. From a fixed standpoint, which goes down into the Vice President fundraising budget. Jason, if you can scroll down there. One of the commitments that we decided was really important to us was maintaining a commitment to the ability experience. We wanted to lead by example and say that we understand the unique, wonderful philanthropic efforts that the Ability Experience, again, that was formerly Push America, did. So we're going to make a minimum yearly donation from the funds that we receive. And it will be something that I think we'll take pride in over the years. We'll come to be known for this sort of thing. I'm hoping that in future years that we can advance this, not only just cutting a check, but doing some fundraising. Some of the regionals that can get together and maybe collect a couple $100 by doing something that goes towards the minimum donation. I'm hoping that we can really reach out and start doing some of that stuff. But for now, we're going to contribute that $1,000 and make that something that's ongoing. Again, I think it looks good, but it's also it's the right thing to do. We've got to live, according to what this is we're supposed to do, and that's certainly one of those things.
It's 67. A question about that.
Sure.
Is there any way that we can get at least a portion of our organization to be 501c status?
We will investigate that. My understanding is no. You either are or you're not. By doing that, it really limits the ability to do the things in the future that we want to do, such as, one of the real things that you can see in here, leadership training for undergraduates. We have $300 budget in here because we want to start putting money aside now to be able to send our guys down there. You can't do that as a 501c3. You have very limited things that you can actually spend money on. So there is perhaps a way for us to make the ability experience contributions tax deductible to some extent, but not for the entire operation for us. It's unfortunate, but
well, is there a way to have an additional organization like the APAC Foundation or something
Yeah,
that is 501c, and that we can go out for corporate donations?
Yes, there is, absolutely. And one of the things that we talked about, and I spent a lot of time talking with Patrick about this. In the early years, it was before we recharter, one of the things that we understood was the fact that we have such a important thing to do that we're trying to do. And I understand that, people are they are truly you know, incented when they give things tax deductible. And what I don't want, knowing that we can't have the full contribution to be used however we need to use it according to our budget, what I felt like we would probably wind up doing is competing with ourselves, right? And that's the last thing that we need to do, is guys given an option between, hey, let's I can throw $1,000 to the Ability Experience, but you know that's tax deductible, and the you know, but that's all I'm going to do, and that's $1,000, and it's that's it, and we have no use for that outside of that very limited yet important option. So I'm not going to go down that path right now. I think that is something for us to consider in the future when we're more established and we've got the student chapter back, and we can coordinate some really kick-ass stuff with the undergraduate chapter. But for right now, I think it's premature.
Got it. Thanks.
So there are, again, you can see down at the bottom here some of the events that we have budgeted for. And we're obviously have to update this with fall 16 homecoming event. And that by the way, may actually go up to $1,000 for the fall. I got to talk to Patrick about that. We've got $1,000 for the spring. We've got regional events that we're budgeting for. And then we're seeding, again, the 40th anniversary event in 2018, which is really, really important to us, because that we're, the thinking is that may be the first semester that we have rechartered. Either way, it's a huge number. It's a huge milestone for the 40th anniversary of 78 rechartering. So we're going to celebrate, and we're going to do it correctly. Hopefully it's a big event. So we're putting money aside for that. The other two things down at the bottom, which we've got to do, these are the things that, that I talk about, that if we don't do this now, if we're not getting this lined up now, we're going to be in a real, compromised position in 2018. So we're putting aside money every year for ritual equipment. We need $2,000 to do that at the end of when we're ready to go. So technically, probably late fall of 18 or spring of 19, we're gonna have to come up with $2,000 to buy the ritual equipment, and the whole kit costs about $2,000. The other thing is the rechartering in 2018. What is that? We've estimated we're gonna need at least $5,000 to be able to put boots on the ground of alumni that are there in support of what the national office is doing. And I don't want to go into the whole thing right now, but the reason why the rechartering money is very important is because we don't just want to leave the rechartering up to the national office. It's not that we don't trust them. It's not that they don't do a good job. But it's very important for us, you know, when we take the combination of the strategic planning meeting and we have our processes, we are going to be there to imprint on this new group exactly what's expected of them, who we are from the very first day that they're there. We're going to have people on the ground. So that's going to cost money, hotel and thing of that nature. Somebody have a question? Okay. So that is... you want to bring that back up, Jace? Thanks. You know, we were roughly talking about $18,000 a year in this type of expenses. Some of that, obviously, we might not hit that $18,000. I hope we do, but all of it, you can see, you know, from top to bottom. You know, one of the things that we've talked about doing for a while is getting a better web design, and that's going to cost money. The operation expenses for this Uber conference cost money. The PayPal thing that we've got to be able to make contributions easy costs money. These are just things that we don't have control over. We have to do it. So, you know, national office dues. We've got operating expenses for audits that are going to be done on our books to make sure that we're keeping very transparent. All of these things cost money. There's very little in here that's discretionary. Patrick spent a ton of time working on this, really thinking it out, kind of listening to what we needed to do and what we're trying to accomplish, and put it in as streamlined and stripped down as possible, giving ourselves a little bit of wiggle room, but also, you know, it's lean. So, you know, that's ambitious, and it continues to be ambitious. But like I've said before, I'm not apologizing for it. If we want to bring our student chapter back and we want it to be an enduring thing, we've got to make this commitment. And we've got to, unfortunately, rely on our, you know, our alumni, our brothers to finance this, which is where we come into the proposed budget and dues for next year. Not the budget. This is the budget. The dues for next year. So the way it's going to be proposed is that for active membership, to be able to participate in everything in voting, it's a minimum of $200 every year. If anyone has contributed to the different categories, and would you mind bringing the contribution categories up with their dollar amounts, please? Thank you. Anybody that is, we'll start at the bottom. Black Diamond members, we're going to add on a couple of incentives. If you're a Black Diamond member, you're going to have a 7-year exemption from paying basic dues. Archons Council will be 5, Vice Archons Council will be 2, and basic membership obviously is just that's the active membership where you're a voting member in Alpha Rho, but that will be annual. So to keep your voting status, you've got to pay that or contribute more. We think that's fair. It allows us to continue the financing campaign. We did some numbers that if everybody contributed $200, or if we got 100 of our 600 alumni to do $200, we would fund our budget. And so, you know, we know that with people that are willing to give more and be counted on as Vice Archon Council and Archon and Black Diamond Council members, we don't need everyone, but it would be certainly nice if we could strive to do that. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to propose. So that is the proposal, and I want to open that up now for any discussion or questions on this. Fire away. And short of any discussion on this, someone could motion that this budget and dues is tabled until next meeting where we'll vote on it.
So moved.
I'm sorry, was there a motion?
There was from 67.
Is there a second?
I'll second it. Tie it.
Okay. Jason, second it. All those in favor of tabling the proposal, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. We'll table this discussion until next at our April meeting. Okay, second item of discussion is nominations for Board of Directors. The nominations are for the full slate. The term is 2 years. That would start at our April meeting and run through spring of 18. We will open up the nominations now, but they can come in up until Saturday, April the 9th. And anyone can be nominated to hold office. And there's two. There's some confusion out there, which we need to make sure that we understand what these differences are. To participate and sit on the board of directors, you have to be a member in good standing, and that could be either an active or inactive. Inactive means that you're good standing with everyone, including the Housing Corporation, National Office, student chapter. You have no outstanding debt, but you have not paid your you haven't done a contribution or paid a dues to the alumni chapter. You are able to nominate and run and hold office. You simply can't vote. An active member are those that have contributed and have the ability to vote. So that is something I just wanted to make sure that we're making the distinction. Nobody that's received any emails or was put on you know, notification last year that they were not eligible in until 2021 is obviously on this. No expelled members, clearly. Anyone who's not in good standing obviously is not eligible to be nominated or serve if they're nominated. So I'm going to start this process, as I told you all, by nominating each officer for a second term. So I'm going to nominate the following, and then just hang with me for a second. Patrick Farley for member at large, Jordan Feathers for vice president, chief risk officer. I'm nominating Craig Winkleman to continue as vice president fundraising, Jason Hyatt, VP chief information officer, John George, secretary, chief communications officer, Patrick Folio, treasurer, chief financial officer, Chris Barney Dyson for Vice President, Chief Operating Officer, Matt Laffa for Executive Vice President. Ken, I'm going to go down. So, Patrick, do you accept the nomination?
I do.
Thank you very much. Jordan, would you accept your nomination?
I will.
Thank you. Craig, will you accept your nomination? He will. VP, Chief Information Officer Jason, will you continue, accept your nomination?
I do.
John George, will you accept your nomination?
I will, thanks.
You're welcome. Patrick has already accepted his. Barney, will you accept the nomination?
I will.
Matt Laffa, did you make it on? Matt Laffa accepts his, already accepted his nomination. So those are the offices there, and I can't nominate myself, so if anyone would like to do that, now's the time.
I'll nominate Tom Begley for President and Chief Executive Officer of the Alpha Rho Alumni Chapter.
Thank you, and I will accept that nomination. Okay, now's the time that we will open this up for others who would like to be nominated for officers in Alpha Rho. Is there anyone else that's out there that would like to offer a nomination for any of the board offices? Okay, hearing none, we will continue on with the meeting. The voting will take place Saturday, April 9th, 2016. People that are in good standing and active will be allowed to vote on these offices. So we'll go ahead and is there any other new business that's not listed on here? Okay. Hearing none, we're going to close new business and move on. All right, so now is the time. The floor is open to anyone who wishes to discuss any topic. And anybody has anything to say, now's the time. The floor is yours. Go right ahead. Anybody? Nobody.
Not a thing, except for Tom. I just want to thank you, as always, for all the hard work that you put into what we're trying to do. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for saying so. We're going to have to come up with something different here. I think we're going to have to bring back G's and B's or you know, Loser of the Month or something like that, where we can have a little bit of fun with this part. That was always a fun part of our meeting. So anybody have any ideas about what to do to kind of spice that up? I love the fact that there's a bunch of new people that we haven't heard from on these calls lately. Kevin and Jerry and Ken. I'm so appreciative of you guys dialing in and listening here. If you've got anything that you want to add, that's great. I hope that maybe some of you guys will consider coming in for the spring weekend, or if not spring, we're going to have a kick-ass homecoming event again on October 1st. So hope to see you guys in Morgantown soon.
And hope when we're in Morgantown that we have some basketball to celebrate.
That would be wonderful. If the town is, if we win something and the town is still standing, that'd be a good thing too. that would be an accomplishment, I think, for our current group of undergraduate students.
Somebody asked me how the couch burning got started at West Virginia University, and Craig, do you remember how that actually got started? I don't think you. When did you start at WVU, Craig? He's on mute.
He's overtaking somebody on the freeway.
Yeah, probably. He tried to dodge somebody in that Corvette.
Yeah, cops are on him.
what's that? You guys talking about me again?
Yep.
We are, Craig. Craig, what year did you start at WVU?
What year did I start at WVU? I graduated from high school in 1977, so it was 77.
77, so I thought, well, 2 years before Craig started, when I was a freshman, the very first couch burning happened at the WVU Pitt game. That particular year, we were at the old stadium. And that's when he used to be called Tony Dorsett when he played at Pitt, but then he became Anthony Dorsett when he got out to the pros. And we were playing Pitt at WVU, and we were at a tied score, 14-14, with 4 seconds left on the board. And Bill McKenzie came out and kicked a 56-yard field goal.
Jeez.
And which back then was remarkable.
It was incredible. I mean, that's back when dogs were chasing frisbees. And people were doing, like, handstands and backflips all the way down the field. The place got rushed. It was just an incredible party. And, of course, being where the old stadium was, people just flowed right out into Sunnyside. And that was the height of Sunnyside at the time. And there was a lot of student housing across the street from Sunnyside. And somebody just pulled that night a couch right off the porch and lit it right in front of the Sunnyside Super F. And that started the whole couch burning thing going on with WVU, and I was there to see it.
Jeez.
It's a moment of pride in my life. I'll make sure we put that in the history.
Yes.
Good memories, huh?
It's great stuff. All right. Okay, so our next conference call, is our face-to-face meeting Saturday, April 16th, 2016, 10 o'clock a.m. at the Mountain Lair. We'll get a room. We'll have everything. Obviously, you'll know where everything is when we know it. Very appreciative of everyone being on this call. And, guys, again, thank you very much for dialing in. And if you've got any questions, anything, follow-up, suggestions, anything else, you know, shoot me an email, give me a shout, whatever you need to do, and I appreciate it. Can I have a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Second by?
Second, 456.
Okay, great. Without hearing an objection, the meeting is adjourned at 7:05 Eastern Time. Guys, have a wonderful rest of the week, and looking forward to seeing everybody in Morgantown face-to-face in a month.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.